Log Talk Radio.
Company Eastern, both the old company and the new company. Our only purpose is to bring you news of Eastern, both past and present. You may also hear a song or two selected by our producer that enjoyed popularity during the days that Eastern 2 was popular as a preferred airline by the traveling public. So much so that it became the largest passenger-carrying airline in the free world. The legacy of Eastern is carried forward by people like you tuning in each week to share those memories. The regulars on the show each week try to do exactly that, sharing their own memories. Bill, how about telling us, our listeners, how they can share the microphones during our Eastern Airlines radio show?
Certainly, Jim. For those folks listening to the broadcast on their computers, all you need to do is call us at 213-861-1611, and it will put you on Neil's producer's board for telling us what's on your mind or adding to the subject being discussed. Remember, unless Neil has opened your phone connection to join the live conversation, you will need to press the number 1 on your phone's keypad. Just as a reminder for those wanting to listen to our show every Monday night live at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, you can connect by going to www.ealradioshow.com, or you can also connect with the show at our sponsor's website, www.repaonline.com. That's the site of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. Let me repeat the phone number for the show again, 213-861-1611. Neil, how about cranking up that R2800 and let's get the show rolling down the runway?
Neil, correct the phone number. It's 213-816-1611. 213-816-1611.
Very good. It's 816, yes. Thank you very much, Cecile. And, Phil, it's always great to start off our broadcast by saying hello to our host and guests and finding out what's happening in their part of the country and getting a brief weather update. We're going to forego the weather update. We've got so much planned for tonight's show. So we're going to break away from that and just to kind of identify our host by me calling their name and see if they're absent or present, just like we did back in the school days or in the military. Steve Thompson, are you here? Say present.
Hey there, listeners, and hello, Neil.
Okay.
John Reinhart should be here also.
Okay, John, are you with us?
I'm here.
Right okay. Out bushy. All right, thanks so much, John. Chuck Albright.
I'm here and ready to go.
All right. Cecile Entriago. Yes, I know you're here, Cecile.
I'm here.
Jim Graybill is here. Right, Jim?
Yes, sir. All present accounted for. One
okay,
pipe each.
George Jen, are you with us tonight? Apparently not. Gay Harvey, I think you're with us tonight.
I am. I'm here.
Okay. Let's see. I did say George Jen. And I've got to click open a couple of numbers here. Okay. Let's see. Who have I not identified? I haven't identified Frank.
John Reinhart.
John Reinhart. Yeah, he checked in earlier. And Jill Cotton in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Jill.
I'm checking in here, too.
Frank Signorth.
Yeah, Frank. I don't know whether Frank's with us. Are you with us, Frank?
I'm here.
No.
I'm here.
We, huh?
Frank's here.
Okay, Frank. Good to hear from you. Folks, we've had a little technical problem, and I'm a producer, but they don't pay me well enough to really be a real techie. So I kind of screwed up on the show tonight, but we're going to make do with best that I can make do with. And I won't tell you what I did wrong, but Bill Joseph, you're back with us. And I think that's all hosts. We have usually
about
on our radio show, we have about eight hosts that are regularly with us. Some take off a few shows, and but most of them are standing by to help us out on the radio show. There are, most all of them are Eastern people, are either friends of Eastern people. So we're happy to have all of our hosts, and thanks, guys, for checking in. Now,
and Jill Cotton is here, too.
Who? Yeah, Jill is with
I'm
Jill,
here.
Are you? Yeah, okay, Jill. Very good. Good to hear from you. Now I'm going to play a song here that's going to identify our next guest, and we'll talk for to her for just a few minutes if she's with us. Mary Block, are you with us?
I am.
Okay, stand by, because this song is a song for you, Mary.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
We know the rest of that song and how Willie sings it. He sings it so well. But, Mary, it's nice having you with us. And just a little background for those that may not have heard Mary in the past three shows we've had her on. She, along with, I don't know, 200 or 300 people, she'll bring us up to date.
Her sister.
Sisters on the fly, travel from Chicago to Los Angeles on Route 66, and now she's headed back. Now, Mary, can you tell us the highlights of your trip and how you're doing now getting back to Tennessee? It's all yours, Mary.
Well, last Thursday, we arrived at the Santa Monica Pier, which is the end of the Route 66. And what was really funny was right when we were getting there and having pictures and everything taken, Jill, my future sister on the fly, possible, from North Carolina, called at that time. And we had a great chat. And anyway, I just thought it was so cool that we just happened to connect at that time. How are you doing, Jill?
I'm doing great. I'll tell you, I wish I could have been on this trip of yours. It would have been fun.
It was. It was a great time. So anyway, the next day was our final day, and we all took out in caravans going back across the country because we were all going in different directions. And the caravan I was in, we left California and went to Las Vegas. And then in Las Vegas, a number of us broke up to go in other directions, some going north, some going further south down into Arizona area, and then on to Texas and that. Some of us had family members and friends fly in to go with us. I had a friend fly in who's helping me drive back across country because we prefer that the gals don't just get caught out there by themselves. So anyway, off we went to Hoover Dam, and then the little flyer did some time at Zion National Park and have a great time. We can't miss anything coming back, you know. And then we drove across Utah. And for those of you folks who have never done a driving trip across the state of Utah, it is just breathtaking. And the speed limit is 80, although the little flyer did not go 80.
80.
It felt like I was 80 miles an hour. I felt like I was on the Autobahn, except everybody was flying by, you know? Anyway,
you need a couple of men in there, sir.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got into Colorado, and one of the great stops there, I met up with Bill Joseph and his wife, Steph, and we had dinner and just had a lot of fun chit-chatting and catching up and showing Bill the little flyer and just making a memory. And then from there, we've been making our way across Colorado, and right now I'm in a truck stop in Burlington, Colorado. I'm about 15 minutes from the Kansas border, and after this, I will be heading on to St. Louis with a stop in Kansas City to visit some folks. But the trip for me will be officially over in St. Louis because I'm going to put the flyer back in the shop for some road wear and tear checkup and make sure that everything is in top-notch condition. And then she's going to go on to North Georgia for some interior adjustments from when she was refurbished. So it's been a great trip. Once I get to St. Louis and get her in the shop there and just have her checked out and make sure that she's roadworthy again in the future, I'll have great memories, made great friends, saw great things, and I'm just one grateful girl that I had the opportunity and the privilege to make the trip and meet such gracious people across this country.
Mary, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Do you think that Eastern Airlines got an exposure as a result of your trip on Route 66?
Well, I think I shared with you about the American pilot. I mean, there are people that would say to me, do you know Eastern's coming back? And I got real tickled and said, oh, yeah. And, of course, I never knew about this when I started out with my little flyer. Back when I joined Sisters on the Fly. But, oh, yes, people, they came up and talked to me about their stories. They had relatives and friends, or they had traveled on it, on business. I would be parked in different KOAs with other sisters. There was a gentleman who came by, and I was out of camp. I'd run off to Camping World or some such place to get some electrical outlet or something, and he was a pilot, and he came by a couple times, and I missed him, and boy, I wish I wouldn't have, because he was Eastern retired, and I thought that would be great to share with everybody, but, you know, you wouldn't think that after 25 years, people would really be that knowledgeable about Little East, the Eastern Airlines and all of that, but,
well,
they are, and it was fun, and you just heard positive things. That's what's so exciting. You know, it's just such a positive thing. And quite frankly, the people that know about Eastern coming back are just excited about it and, you know, just all have that great feeling. She's going to make it. She's going to make
good.
It.
And Mary, the reason I ask you about that is because the folks that came up to you and wanted to know more about Eastern Airlines was a result of you painting the same painting that's on the new Eastern and the old Eastern airplanes with the hockey stick logo that we had in Eastern Airlines painted on the side of that 1960 Shasta. And that little Shasta, folks, has even got wings on the rear end of that Shasta. If you've never seen a Shasta trailer, I think hers is about a 16 or 19 foot, something like that. You can go to the radio show's website, EALradioshow.com, and there we posted some pictures, and we're going to get a lot more pictures to post about Mary's trip all the way from Chicago. And I think she told me at one time she was one of 27 that actually started in Chicago and went all the way to LA.
We were given necklaces and charms in California. I was one of 26 that made it from the beginning to the end. And it was quite an experience because the first 9 of the first 12 days out, we went through rain, and in many times it was monsoon rain. And like I think I shared with you before, when I was in Oklahoma City, it was raining and the water was rising rather fast, and I put my hand outside the little flyer, and I could feel the water just a tad below that step that you step onto to step out of the trailer. And so a little before midnight, 10:30, 11 o'clock, I decided I needed to get out there and get her hooked up and start to pull her out, because the next day they had to get some tow trucks to pull other people out. But I made it, and it was just another wonderful experience of feeling like I can do this. So anyway, it's been great.
Yeah, all of us across the country, of course, we're keeping praised of the situation of the rain that you went through, and there were many deaths as a result of the flooding that you guys went through, and I'm glad everyone made it safely and you're on your way back. We're going to miss you, Mary, so we want you to plan another trip for us so we can stay in touch. I've enjoyed these, and Bill Joseph had the opportunity to meet you in person. Bill, you met Mary. Where did you meet her?
She brought the flyer right into Fruta, Colorado, yesterday afternoon, and we spent about an hour and a half with Mary and had a wonderful time. This perky blonde can get that thing across the road, let me tell you.
Mary, what's she want on that thing?
She may not have gone 80, but I guarantee you that thing was doing 70.
Bill, did you take some pictures of the trailer?
Well,
Mary, what kind of you got on your trailer?
I'm sorry, repeat?
What kind of speed on V1 do you have on your trailer?
That's aviation terminology, Jim.
Neil?
About velocity speeds. Yes, sir.
I want you to know that Mary had her information regarding the radio show posted prominently on the Suburban that was pulling the trailer.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you so much, Mary.
On both sides.
Very good. Not only do we thank you here at the radio show, but I hope Ed Weigel and the new group, the management with the new Eastern Airlines, listens to what you've done, Mary, and perhaps we'll hire you as a public relations person with that little 1960s Shasta.
Oh, Neil, you know, at the age I am, it's just fun when somebody recognizes her to just let them know just what I think about my Eastern Airlines, and anytime I can put a plug in for them, I want to see the future go beautifully for the new airlines. But I always tell everybody Eastern Airlines was so good to Mary Block, and anything that can be said for the future folks and family of Eastern, we know we'll all say that. Everybody on the radio show, no matter where we are, we're all for their success.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much, Mary, for pulling off the side of the road and chatting with us. 7 o'clock this time, Eastern Time, Central Time, Mountain Time, and Pacific Time, because you've really been dedicated to our radio show for the last 3 weeks, and we certainly, actually, this is the fourth week, we certainly appreciate your reporting. And we'll look forward to the book that is being done of your trip. And, of course, we'll put that on the website so people will know how to order it or find out what the trip was all about. And I think you did pick up a few members as a result of your trip, did you not, Mary?
Yeah, we did. And I also think I picked up a new friend. Jill and I are going to rendezvous someplace and meet in
person. Okay.
Yeah, we're not that far apart. That's
all
right.
Nice. All right. Okay, good night, Mary. Good night. Thank you so
good
much.
Good night. You betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mary.
Bye, Jill.
Cecile, we're going to turn the program over to you now, and because you've done so much in bringing information about the Honor Flight. So, Cecile, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Just a reminder, I hear a couple of dishes back there. If you want to put your phone on mute so we don't have background noise, okay, guys? Our program tonight is about the Honor Flight conducted throughout the United States. And since Eastern Airlines participated in this wonderful tribute to our American heroes this year, we thought we would tell you some of its history. An honor flight is conducted by nonprofit organizations dedicated to transporting as many United States military veterans as possible to see the memorials of their respective wars. They fought in Washington, D.C. at no cost to the veterans. Currently, these organizations are focused on bringing veterans of World War II to the National World War II Memorial and any veteran with a terminal illness to see the memorial of the war they fought in. Organizers plan to naturally transition their programs to focus on veterans of the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and subsequent wars as veterans of those wars get older. Honor flights arrive at all three of the Washington's area airports, Ronald Reagan, Baltimore, Washington, and Washington Dulles. The veterans are generally escorted by volunteer guardians who help them on the flight and around D.C. After landing, the taxiing airplane may be saluted by fire trucks, and passengers are often met by cheering crowds in D.C. or upon their return flight home. See?
The network was co-founded by Jeff Miller, a small business owner from Hendersonville, North Carolina, near my hometown, and Earl Morse, a physician assistant and retired Air Force captain. Morse worked in a Department of Veterans Affairs clinic in Springfield, Ohio, where he saw many patients who were World War II veterans. After the National World War II Memorial in Washington was completed in 2004, he asked many of his veteran patients if they were going to see it, and most said yes. I would see my World War II veterans some 3 and 6 months later, and I'd ask them if they had gone to see it, and 300 of them, and not one of them, had been to it, reality set in. They were never going. Morse offered to fly with two veterans to Washington to see the memorial, and after seeing them break down and cry and graciously accept the offer, he pitched his idea to a local aero club of 300 private pilots at a local Air Force base, proposing that the pilots would pay for the flights for the veterans to Washington and personally escort them around the city, and 11 volunteered, and the network was formed. By 2005, a board was formed, funds were raised, and volunteers had joined. John?
Honor Flight took place in May 2005, when six small planes flew 12 veterans to Washington. Due to high participation, the program began using commercial flights. At the end of 2005, the program had transported 137 veterans to the memorial. In late 2005, Jeff Miller, high cleaning company owner in Hendersonville, North Carolina, fired by Morse Vision, had her idea, but on a larger scale. World War II veteran, a four bomber pilot who died in the war, had been a charter member of the National World War II Memorial Foundation. Of course, Miller, many World War II veterans would be unable to visit the memorial. Indeed, that a forest of volunteerism, fundraising, and goodwill toward the greatest veterans. who had been too busy building their communities to demand recognition for wartime service. 23 and 24 September and 4 November 2006, Air flew more than 300 World War II veterans from Nashville Airport to Washington, free of charge. Air provided a medical doctor and several EMTs, guardians who would attend to the needs of four veterans each. World War II Memorial and other national memorials. Ticket agents and passengers lined the ropes as veterans emerged from the charter jet into the terminal. Veterans who had lifted their hands to hearts many times in the 61 years since the war ended had never seen anything like the heroes' reception they received in Washington. CBS Sunday Morning aired a moving feature about the Honor Air effort in September 2006. Author and TV journalist Bill Geis updated the story in 2007 because it was a story that was so important to him. Springfield Group and Honor Air soon merged to form the, as of 2014, the Honor Flight Network is still headquartered. Both Jeff Miller and Earl Morse awarded the Presidential Citizens Medal in 2008 for their extensive work with the program. Chuck?
Flights arrived in any of the Washington three area airports: Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, Baltimore Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport, and the Washington Dulles International Airport. Southwest Airlines is the official commercial airline of Honor Flight Network. Although the network utilizes many national airlines, including this year Eastern Airlines with their Boeing 737, the veterans on the Honor Flight are escorted by volunteer guardians who help them on the flight and around D.C. An Honor Flight of 100 people, including veterans and volunteers, is about $30,000. Costs are covered by donations and the assistance from the airline. Honor Flight Network says that as of November 2010, it had transported 63,292 veterans of World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War to Washington, D.C. By 2012, the group had expanded to include 114 chapters. By 2014, the movement had grown to 133 chapters, serving veterans in 41 states in the District of Columbia. Neil, back to you about your thoughts and observation of Eastern Airlines' flight this year.
Okay, Neil, can I ask a favor if you can close the mic so we don't have background noise while Victor Robb talks only? I'd appreciate it.
Well,
I have
let's
four
see.
Guests, if you can, oh. But if you don't close mine, otherwise
okay.
You can hear us.
I have a problem here, Cecile. We're not a major studio, a radio studio. We're a kitchen table radio studio. And so
okay.
Therefore we have to put up with a lot of extraneous sounds in the background, if you will. And
okay.
if I had the possibility of being a high-tech run radio station like Rush Limbaugh has and Hannity has and all of these other super jocks, radio jocks, I could do all of that. But Cecile, we're going to have to, like I say, it's kitchen table radio, and folks, you have to put up with what you hear. But we have fun doing this show, and we think, to me, it's entertaining, and I hope it is to all the people that listen in. So,
it definitely
Cecile,
is,
with
and
that,
you do a great job.
It's all yours, Cecile, so I'm not that
okay,
polished to do what you ask.
All right, I have four guests, and I will introduce the first person I'd like to introduce is our honored guest, who is a former World War II Special Agent for Counterintelligence, and he was in the Army, and his name is Victor Robb.
Hi there.
It's an honor to have him. Victor?
Hi, how are you?
Tell us, great. Tell us about what you've experienced in and what you did in the war, please.
I was in World War II. I joined the Patton Third Army in December of 1942 and stayed with the Army until the war was over, and I stayed out of the Army of Occupation, worked some of the prisoners, interrogated them, and brought them to Nuremberg trial. So it was an all-time, full-time job, and many happy days and many dangerous days, but we are back and survived it all, and we are here to tell our stories.
Victor, could you tell us about how you got from Vienna and what Hitler did to you? Could you tell us about your experience?
I was born in 1923 in Vienna, Austria. And I'm Jewish, and when Hitler marched into Austria in 1938, we realized it was not the place for Jewish kids to be. So the first chance we had, I went out on what was called the Kinder Transport to London, England. Once I arrived there, the war started a week later in Europe. The people in London sent me to Belfast, Ireland, where I waited until I got permission to come to the United States. And I arrived in the States 6 months later. Then Pearl Harbor, of course, happened in the United States. And I was drafted. Actually, I was drafted before I became a citizen. I didn't realize that was possible, but they did make me a citizen before they shipped me overseas. And they shipped me over to Europe, where I joined at the Battle of the Bulge. And because of my knowledge of the German language, I was got a battlefield commission, actually, to the Counterintelligence Corps, called CIC, as an agent. Our job was to find leaders of the Nazi Party and interrogate them and get before a judge, and the judge would sentence them depending on the type of position that they had with the party and with the war effort. After 3 years, a little bit over 3 years, I came back to Chicago, where I spent my adult life. And I must say, I used Eastern all the time when I lived in Chicago. And I was very happy to be on the first flight that the new Eastern sent us from Miami, where I now live, to Washington. The airline... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The flight was a remarkable thing. There were 63 of us, most of them World War II veterans. We got the best of service. The people of Eastern, as a matter of fact, the president of Eastern, on the flight back, we had a hot meal, and he had helped the stewardesses because they tried to serve us all at the same time, going up and down the line. And helping with the food service. It was quite an experience. When we returned to Miami, we were greeted by about 4,000 to 5,000 people, and there wasn't a dry eye on board the ship, and as we were welcomed back home. It was an experience of a lifetime, and we will never forget it.
Wonderful.
And when Victor arrived, his wife, Delora, ran up to his chair and sat on his lap, and we have pictures on that. And with your permission, we can post them on the website, Victor.
Sure, go right ahead.
Thank you.
Also, Victor Rob's story was so interesting to the University of Miami, where you had students. Could you tell Victor about your students, what they were?
They had a program over the University of Miami would couple up a survivor of the Hitler era with the student who took the course. I spent two semesters with each student. I had three students, and they got credit for spending the time with me, but they had to write a paper, and one of them wrote a little booklet called German, The Child from Vienna, which I have in possession. I don't have too many copies left, but if somebody's interested, I might find a couple of copies, or at least lend them to them, and then they can return them to me. But the students heard things firsthand of what went on during that time.
Great, and if anybody wants a copy of the book, just let Neil know, and then I'll contact Victor, and we'll get you. You might have to go into the publishing business, Victor. And the author is Jill Nicole, and it's called A Child from Vienna. Go ahead, Victor.
I think I've told you all of what you want to know. Unless somebody has any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Victor, thank you so much for what you told about your experience in World War II and also about Eastern Airlines and their flight, your flight, to Washington, D.C. and back. And if you can give Cecile a way of contacting you for those that want to order or ask for the information that you said that is available, that you have written, we'd love to have that, put it on our website, and perhaps you'll get some response from that. I hope so. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Victor. Stay on with us. Thank you, Victor, for an awesome story. Our next guest is Jim Nasgrant. Jim, are you on board with us?
I'm here.
Great. Jim, if you'll introduce yourself and who you are, go ahead.
Okay. Great. Thank you. First of all, thank you for having us on. And, Mr. Victor, thank you for your service. I was on the flight with you that day. It was a spectacular day. We've heard back from so many veterans. My name is Jim Nasgrant. I'm from Honor Flight South Florida, based here in Plantation, Florida, which is greater Fort Lauderdale. And we serve veterans from Broward, Dade, and Monroe counties down to the Keys. And we had just had our first flight a week ago Saturday out of Miami International Airport on the new Eastern Airlines. And as Mr. Victor said, Mr. Riggle was on the flight. He was up and down, not only serving food, but talking with the veterans. His wife was on board, too, also working the flight. Let me give you a little background of what we do. As you guys all described collectively, Honor Flight is a nonprofit organization. And what we do is very simple. We try to say thank you to all the veterans out there who have served our country from World War II to current. Unfortunately, across the country, the Veterans Administration states that we lose about 800 World War II veterans a day. That's 800 a day. So it's a race against time to get all of these guys and gals up to see their memorial built in their honor. And it's our pleasure, our board here based in Fort Lauderdale is 2 years and 1 month old. And we've been taking full charters now for the last four flights. And I'm very proud to go on board as a flight photographer. I'm one of the founding members and board members. And if any of your listeners out there countrywide, there's 137 chapters, two new ones, one in Hawaii, one in Alaska, just started last month. If anyone wants to really experience true American patriotism, they need to find out if you have a local hub. Usually in the major cities is where the hubs are, and you need to come to a homecoming. And I need to correct Mr. Victor. According to the Metro Dade Police Department, there is about 6,000 to 8,000 people at the Miami International Airport for the homecoming. It was packed. It was jammed. We had people from all ages. What's really neat is we saw a lot of kids there. Parents brought their kids to experience something that you just can't read in a book. And you can't experience at school. And I have to agree with Mr. Victor, after being on nine of these flights, two as a guardian myself, it still brings a tear to my eye to see young kids at the airport reaching out to shake the hands and give hugs and kisses to the veterans to say simply, thank you. Because when these guys came back after World War II, a lot of them didn't get a ticker tape parade. They threw their duffel bag in mom and dad's basement, and these men and women proceeded to build America. They built our highway system. They helped build Eastern Airlines and all the other factions around the country. So all of us at Honor Flight South Florida, and I'm sure I can speak for all the Honor Flight chapters around the country, our main mission is really very simple, to say thank you for your service, because I wouldn't lead the life I have, my wife, my home, if it wasn't for these men and women who really put it on the line and defended our freedom so we could live the life that we have today. So my hat's off to all the veterans, and as my mother-in-law has told me, I have found my ministry, and I'm all involved. I'm Mr. Honor Flight, and we're so proud to be able to serve the over 18,000 World War II veterans here in South Florida, according to the VA. So it's a race against time to get these guys and gals up to their memorial built in their honor to say thank you.
Well done. I really go along with you on that one.
Can we get a email? Can we get a website that we can that we can go to? Can you give us
Certainly.
That website?
Yes, sir. It's real simple. It's honorflightsouthflorida.org. honorflightsouthflorida.org.
Very good.
Now there's 137 hubs around the country. You could go to the honorflight.org's national website, click on your state, and it will tell you if you have any hubs located in your state. And I certainly encourage anyone who wants to give back. It's hard to describe the feeling to see the faces of these guys and gals. And we have several surprises that are planned for them. One of them is mail call. And Victor didn't allude to that, but I'm sure he remembers it. We, on the way back, everyone's tired. It's been a long day. We started about 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's a one-day trip up and back. A lot of movement, a lot of buses, a lot of getting on and off, but everything worked well. And everyone's kind of tired, and we're getting this hot meal. And we get on the intercom, and we bark out, mail call. Of course, a lot of these guys haven't heard that term since World War II, when the jeeps or the boats would pull up and have packages that were 3 and 4 months old and disperse them out to all the enlisted people. Well, what we do is we contact, unannounced to the veterans, their family members, their wives, their grown children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, sometimes great-great-great-grandchildren. But we also get with local schools, middle schools and high schools, and we have a letter-writing campaign. To give you one example, the people, the great team at the Miami International Airport, assembled 2,700 thank-you letters, all personally addressed to each veteran. And what we do is on the airplane, we call mail call, and we start calling the people by their name, and we hand out these huge, thick packages. And they proceed to start to open their mail and read their mail. Some of them are from elementary school kids with pictures, and some of them are from, you know, their family members. And we walk the aisles with Kleenex boxes because there's not a dry eye on the airplane. And it's a great way to end the day, so the veterans think. And then we get back at the airport, we land, we get everybody off, we keep them at the gate, and then we walk out as a small division to these thousands of American patriots who are there to say simply, thank you. And there was people singing, and there was bands, and there was cheerleaders, and there was all folks from all walks of life. And it's just a great American patriotic experience. If you find out, no matter where in the country you are, I know we have callers in Colorado and California and all over, Hendersonville, of course, with Mr. Miller. If you've never experienced a homecoming, you have to experience it. I cannot describe it. You just have to go and if the tears don't well up in your eyes when you see these guys coming off the airplane and they're surprised, then you're not human, because it's just absolutely very touching. And I encourage any of your listeners, even anywhere in the country. If there's an honor flight near you, support the honor flight. You can support by volunteering. We're always looking for great volunteers. I'm very fortunate to work with a great group of American patriots who have the same passion as I do, and that is just to give back and say thank you. And it's a great cause. I could not see myself involved with anything else.
Jim, thanks again. This is Victor.
Yes, Victor. We enjoyed having you on the flight.
Great job and well done. And Jim, also, after the flight, you mail a CD to the vets. Could you tell what you mailed
them? That's one of the surprises, and actually I'm going to mail them out this Saturday. That's okay.
Sorry.
Because most of the vets find out during the day anyway, because I'm running around snapping 2,742 pictures, and they're wondering what I'm going to do with all these pictures. But what I do is I assemble what we call a care package. And what it does is we print out a certificate, mission accomplished, for the veterans, and we include the two picture discs, which will have over 2,700 pictures, which they can easily take to any local drugstore and have whatever prints they want printed. We also set up a photo studio in the morning early, and we take what we call school pictures of the veteran with their guardian. Sort of like a formal picture with a nice backdrop. Those pictures will also be on the disc that we send out to the veterans and the guardians, because without the guardians, there would be no honor flight. I know that Victor talked about it and somebody else did. The guardians are basically pay for the honor to fly on the flight to accompany a World War II veteran. As I said earlier, I was twice a guardian, and I now have two adopted fathers, very opinionated, which is great. But met some people that were just super, and glad to be involved with Honor Flight. And again, if you're looking to spend some time or volunteer, there's a lot of great charities out there. But there's nothing
and,
that I know of that can give
like
someone the satisfaction of seeing a smile on the face of a veteran. It's just unbelievable.
Host and listeners, I'd like to invite your questions for Jim or Victor. All the microphones are open, and if you have a question for these two gentlemen, please ask. This is your time.
And this is Jim Graybill. I had the pleasure of doing a little bit of work for that up in Kentucky out of Bluegrass Field in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked to these guys and hear their stories. Like you say, I defy anybody to not have tears in their eyes and a big thump of their chest listening to what these gentlemen did. I'm a little bit young to have been in World War II, but Cecile and I think somebody else made a comment today on one of the others that was the Korean War. Very seldom do you hear anybody say anything about the Korean War.
Yeah, this last flight on May 30th, we had 9 Korean veterans on board.
Is that right?
Yes.
That was quite an honor for me to work with those guys on that honor flight out of Lexington. But I happen to be in the Marine Corps.
Bluegrass Honor Flight does a great job, and again, like you said, it's hard to describe.
It is. It sure is.
You know, I go on the radio a lot. I'm the marketing director and webmaster for our hub. It's what I do for a living, so that's what I bring to the table, and it's what I do for Honor Flight South Florida. But when I go on the radio down here in South Florida to drum up support for the homecoming, it's tough to describe the feeling you have, your heart, your soul, how you feel after you participate either in an Honor Flight or volunteer to give your time to an Honor Flight or just to show up to help make signs that the guys carry with their names on it so the school kids know who they wrote the letters for. It's hard to describe that satisfaction and to put it in words. But, again, to all your listeners out there, if you're really looking to get involved with something that really means something, that really counts.
This is Victor. Hi. This is Victor, who was one of the recipients of all these wonderful things that you guys were doing for us. And I tell you one thing. I will never forget that. I'm 92 years old in July, And this was an experience that I will never, never forget as long as I live.
Well, it's all for you, Victor, and all your veteran men and women that defended our freedom. And when called to go to duty, you did so. And,
absolutely.
You know, simply, I can speak for our hub and our board and our founders, as I'm one of them. We wouldn't have the lifestyle we have today if it wasn't for individuals like yourself. And so in a very humble and simplified way, this is a way for us to say thank you. And again, as Cecile had said earlier, the veterans fly for free. There's no charge for the veterans. One of the biggest, most asked questions from the veterans when they contact us is they just can't believe that we will fly them to Washington, motor coach them around in a nice air-conditioned, clean bus, get them on and off the buses to the memorials for no charge.
Mm.
It's just one of those things that if you really want to see the value of it, you can go to our site and see some videos. A lot of the Honor Flight hubs have videos up. When you see these guys tear up at the Star Wall, at the World War II Memorial, which has 4,123 gold stars on it, each representing 100 men and women who gave their lives for our freedom. When you see these guys tear up, these veterans who've been, excuse the expression, to hell and back, when you see them tear up and remember their buddies who did not come back, it catches you in the guts. And I defy anyone not to experience that and not come across and come back as I have, so touched to want to do more flights. In fact, we're negotiating now. We believe we're going to have one of only the third 747 full flights of veterans this fall, which would be well over 450 veterans. And as I said earlier, it's a race against time. So, Victor, we appreciate you being on the flight. We appreciate the kind words, and it's all for you and your buddies.
I would also like to add one more thing. You know, the guardian that I had was a fireman from Miami, and I met his wife, and we're going to be lifelong friends because he's coming over someday for lunch with us, and it's going to be a wonderful reunion. Thanks
yeah, and
again.
I'm glad you said that, because the guardian are the escort for the veterans for the day. And like I said, I've been a guardian twice. I have two adopted fathers now. We have dinner all the time. We actually go jitterbug dancing. The wives love to dance. I love to dance. So you do meet a friend, an adopted family, really, for life, and you meet their family, and it really is just an unbelievable experience. You just have to be a part of it.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Jim. Excellent. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge our own master of ceremonies, Jim Hart, served in the Korean War for 5 years, and also Jim Grable, who you heard earlier, served in the Marine Corps. And with your permission, Neil, I'd like to acknowledge my uncle, Albert, who served in the Navy, who's in heaven and unfortunately never experienced this flight, and also Robert Johnston, who served in World War II. Jim, you went on an honor flight last year, or this year, did you not?
Yes, I did. In May of this last year, I had the honor to be among the people who visited Washington, D.C. I am a veteran of Korea. I had 5 years during that conflict, and had so many friends who were there and who are not here today. We have had a beautiful cemetery here in Lantana, Florida, where so many of our friends and compatriots are buried. I have been there a number of times. In fact, I took my wife there to show her where we will be buried at one point. And it is a fantastic cemetery. But I'd like to go back to my military experience. I was an aviator, naval aviator, and had almost 3,000 hours flying time in patrol bombers. And it is just unbelievable the hope and everything that we gave to the guys that were serving in Korea. In the naval aviation, the AD Sky Raider was the most fantastic airplane, and here's a propeller-driven airplane, and we're talking about a period when there were no jets. No one knew about jets, so we used propeller-driven airplanes like the AD Sky Raider, the P-2B Neptune patrol bomber, and even going back to Pappy Boyington, when he was flying the Navy. Oh, I can't think of the name of it right. It was the one with the gull wing. Anyway.
Corsair.
But we had, yeah, the Corsair, that's right. But there are so many things that I remembered and I am so appreciative of when we were able to go to Washington to see the monument and to be greeted not only when we leave here at West Palm Beach. That's when my flight left, and it was Southwest Airlines that took us at that time. But we had, it went up on arrival in Washington, D.C. There were thousands of people there to greet us and to welcome us to Washington. And it was one of those wonderful things that we experienced, and I'm so ever grateful for what happened and for all of the people that recognized that we had contributed to our country by serving in our military. I think that's all I have. Cecile?
Okay, I didn't properly acknowledge my uncle. Yes, sir.
Can I mention one more thing? One of
sure,
the most
please.
Wonderful things that took place during that thing was all of a sudden, a lady came out of the crowd, a beautiful lady, and I recognize her as Elizabeth Dole, wife of Senator Bill Dole.
Bob.
And it was unbelievable. She held my hand, and we took a picture, and I still have that because I'll cherish that for the rest of my life. Thank you, Cecile.
You're welcome,
hey, Cecile,
and that's
this
an
is,
awesome
this is Jim,
story.
Cecile, this is Jim Nashman. Unfortunately, I have a prior commitment I have to get to, but I wanted to say thank you to all the guys and gals who served on the phone and on the radio on this broadcast. Thank you for your service. God bless you. And again, to your listeners, before I part, if you're really looking for something to get involved with, look up Honor Flight in your area. Get involved. Be a part of something really special. It will touch your soul.
Thank you, Jim.
It will touch your soul.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. We'll post your website on our website. And
thank you. God bless everybody. And keep up the good work. And go Eastern.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Jim. Thanks again. At this point, Ed Weigel, are you with us tonight? Ed, the president of current Eastern Airlines, of the new Eastern Airlines, was going to try to join us, but he had a prior commitment. Ed, are you on board? Okay, he didn't join us. He couldn't join us, but he was going to try to join us. And as you heard, he helped serve the meals, so what a great start. At this time, I'd like to introduce two people that were at the airport, Isabel Rodriguez and Bob Murphy, who were at a different part of the airport than I was. Bob and Isabel, go ahead.
I'm here.
And I'm here also.
Bob, you want to describe what you witnessed?
Well, it was quite a moving experience. I will say that Isabel was our command and control officer out of the Eastern Airline Retirees Office to put this thing together. And Melanie is my wife, and she is a retired sergeant major with the United States Army. I was only a master sergeant, so she outranks me not only at home, but outranked me in the Army, and she joined me on the expedition down to Miami International. And I have to say, when we got there, we ran into Isabel and her husband, and they had brought the EARA banner, which we proudly displayed. A couple of the the veterans coming through the reception line acknowledged Eastern Airlines and EARA, and one gentleman even said that he had served 40 years with Eastern Airlines after coming back from overseas. The thing that it was amazing to me was the twinkle in the eyes of these veterans as they came through, and there was one little boy across the line from us, and I think he was probably five at the most, and he shook hands with every single veteran that came through, and every veteran stopped and talked to him. The other thing that I noticed was that there was a young lady from the Women's Army Corps in the procession, and there was also a female Marine that came through. And I have to say that I saw the twinkle in the Sergeant Major's, that's my wife, Sergeant Major's eyes when the women came through, because they were the ones that set the groundwork in place for her to go into the military and rise to the rank that she held upon retirement. Overall, it was just a very exciting evening. It was a very moving evening. And I was glad that Colonel Isabel Rodriguez made sure that I was there to participate in the reception line when they came home.
Colonel.
Thank you, Bob. Isabel, what did you witness?
It was very, very emotional. It brought tears to my eyes, and now even listening to all the conversations and to Jim Nasek explaining it, it still makes me teary-eyed. It was amazing, an amazing experience. And shaking all of their hands and thanking them for their service, it was wonderful. I will never forget this.
Thank you, Isabel. And I wanted to mention, I brought my great-grandson, age 7, and he shook about 20 veterans' hands, and then he put his arm around a Purple Heart vet, and I have that picture, and it's just so awesome. So, and I want to thank you all. Isabel, any questions for Bob or Isabel?
Hi, Cecile.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Cecile. This is Vito.
Hey, Vito.
Hi, Vito Veroli speaking. Listen, I sent you my $300 check. I hope you received it. I did get your receipt. Thank you.
You're very welcome. He's talking about another matter, which is a special flight we have in October. But, Bob, what part of the airport were you and Isabel at? Because we kept texting each other, but we didn't find each other.
We were right next to the DJ, where the Miami...
Inside or outside? Inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside, okay. All right, we couldn't find each other, and there were so many people. And also they had the drums, the bagpipes, which was awesome. Okay, I think we're done there, unless anybody has any further questions for Isabel or Bob. Neil, back to you.
Okay, I want to thank Vito for his contributions to all of this. And Vito, thank you very much for what EARA does, and I'm sure you're very much a part of the EARA.
We're there to help you anytime, as much as we can. Never hesitate.
Very good. Well, we want to ask for your help a lot more, because we're planning something big in October, and so we hope that you can help along with REPA, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, and also the Silver Liners.
I'll do whatever I can, Neil.
Thank you so much.
Neil, Isabel sent reservations, which we received for five members of her
five.
Family. Isabel,
absolutely.
Thank
can
you.
Yes. Can you
my
believe
sister,
that?
Yeah,
her whole family, Isabel. Thank you.
Well, my sister worked for Eastern 2 and System 1, and she was there with us and her granddaughter. So her granddaughter experienced.
That's great.
Neil, I should also thank Vito, because those of us in the West Palm Beach chapter try as much as we can to be with the folks down at EARA. Thank you, Jim. Yeah.
Very good. Well,
Jim.
Go ahead, Vito.
I want to thank you. Was that Jim?
Yes.
Jim Hart.
Yes, Vito.
Okay, thank you very much for all your help, Jim. You're always there when we need you, so thank you so very much.
Yes, sir.
We also have, in the past 2 days, an event that happened years ago, and we also want to pay tribute to that. And Jill, would you start off by our discussion with the D-Day?
Sure, I will, Neil. 2 days ago, we honored the brave soldiers who fought and died on the battlefields around Normandy, France, most often referred to as D-Day. June 6th marked the 71st anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy, France, designated at the time as Operation Neptune, but known in popular culture today as D-Day. Why is that, and what does the D stand for? Lots of people think it means Decision Day, Doomsday, or even Death Day. And considering the massive casualties experienced on both sides that day and during the Operation Overlord campaign that followed, those things all make sense. Despite a lot of disagreement among military historians, according to the U.S. Army itself and the National World War II Museum, the D probably just stands for day. No, not day-day, but rather a sort of measurement of time. This coded designation was used for the day of any important invasion or military operation. For military planners and later historians, the days before and after a D-Day were indicated using plus and minus signs. D minus 4 meant 4 days before a D-Day, while D plus 7 meant 7 days after a D-Day. Okay?
So Jill, it's not the D that matters in D-Day, but rather the day, which designates the actual day of the event itself. But as mentioned, not everyone agrees with this. Even the French and one of Eisenhower's own generals had different explanations. Many explanations have been given for the meaning of D-Day, June 6, 1944, the day the Allies invaded Normandy from England during World War II. The Army has said that it is simply an alliteration, as in H-hour. Others say the first D in the word also stands for day, the term a code designation. The French maintain the D means disembarkation. Still others say debarkation, and the more poetic insist D-Day is short for Day of Decision. When someone wrote to General Eisenhower in 1964 asking for an explanation, his executive assistant, Brigadier General Robert Schultz, answered, "General Eisenhower asked me to respond to your letter. Be advised that any amphibious operation has a departed date. Therefore, the shortened term D-Day is used. Luckily, VE Day and VJ Day are a heck of a lot easier to figure out."
Any D-Day thoughts by the hosts and listeners? I think, Chuck, you've got something that pretty much describes the soldier. Chuck?
Yes, a lot of people refer to it as the soldier's poem. And I think a lot of us veterans have heard it before. But here goes. It's the soldier, not the minister, who gives us the freedom of religion. It's the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It's the soldier, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to protest. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It's the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protesters to burn the flag. And as a note, as a soldier myself, and a veteran from the Vietnam War, a lot of us have given some, and some have given all. Thank you.
Great, Chuck.
Very good, Chuck. Thank you so much. And thank you all of the veterans that are listening as hosts, as listeners, and for those all around the world that listen to our broadcast. We honor you tonight. I wish all of you that could make this honor flight, which we've heard about. Thank you, Cecile, for presenting this program tonight. It's been very, as has been mentioned, cheerful, because it does form tears as we think back of what all of the men and women that have done for us to protect our freedom and our liberty and the way we live here in America. I've got a song.
Thank you, Neil, for allowing
that was,
us.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just said thank you for allowing us to do this on the honor flight. That was great.
Well, I found a song about D-Day. I looked for songs in the archives, and I found one by Nat King Cole that was recorded back in the war of 1944. It was recorded by Nat King Cole, and I'm sure I had never heard of this song before, but let's listen to it as it pays tribute to those soldiers that fought and died and were wounded in at the event that is called D-Day. Listen to this.
Grab a chair and sit down and get you. Gonna hear some news of the military nature. Relax while I give you the latest report. Sport, there never was a finer sight when all our boys were fit to fight on D-Day, 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 D-Day. We hope they'll soon be coming back. For now they're on a solid track. There's D-Day, 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 D-Day. Take more than a weekend, so let's be patient and calm. Cut out that public speaking, or we'll be the victim of false alarm. We got to help, we're in it too. So buy those bars and a dooming you for D-Day, 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 D-Day.
Recorded back in 1944 by Nat King Cole about D-Day. And that's our program for tonight, folks. And do we have any comments or anyone would like to contribute any additional thoughts and memories? Now's the time.
Cecile, I'd like to thank you for mentioning a conflict or a war, Korea. Very seldom ever hear that anymore. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, we've enjoyed tonight's show, and we've offered tonight. I was hoping that Ed Weigel would be on our show tonight to tell us a little bit about the Honor Flight and also the events that are happening with the New Eastern Group. We've got more of that in a future show about how we can help the New Eastern Airlines out here from the EAL radio show. And we want to do our part, contribute to the success of the New Eastern Airlines group that they are operating flights now to Havana. And we want to be able to help them in their future plans and any way we can here on the radio show. So we'll be doing that.
Neil, this is Jim.
Yes, Jim.
I think Ed had mentioned earlier that he was attending a meeting of IATA, which is the International Transport Association, which has to do seriously with what's taking place at Eastern. So I know that we understand why he can't be with us tonight.
Yes, and Jim, you know, just by the thoughts in with management, Ed and all of the folks that work with Ed about offering this first flight that they had for those World War II and the veterans going to Washington, D.C. I think it's a good way to start an airline. I really do.
Agreed.
Neil?
Yes.
IATA is the Association for Travel Agents.
Association of Travel Agents. Okay,
travel
very
agents.
Good. Thanks for clearing that up.
ASTA.
Isn't there an IOTA also, or is it just IATA?
I don't know about that. No.
Okay. All right. I thought I had heard that at one time or another. But thanks all for listening. By the way, folks, we are listening to now 48 countries around the world.
Good.
Not all of them are on the board tonight on the producer's screen because my screen will only accommodate 25 call-ins. But people do listen to our show. We are archived. You can pick up any of our previous shows by going to our website, EALRadioshow.com, that's EALRadioshow.com. There's no or there. And listening to any of the archived, I did have that in mind, REPA Online, our sponsor. You can go to www.repaonline.com, and you can pick up also our archive shows of the past. So if you miss this show tonight, then just listen in, and you'll be able to pick it up. Thank you so much. And I think that's about all the time. We've gone over our time, but that's okay because we're having fun talking about Eastern.
How about Lark Welk?
There you go.
There it is, folks. There's that song again. Where does the time go? Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station, www.EALRadioStation.com. And like one of our popular Eastern commercials, we have more to earn our wings every day. We hope we are doing that here tonight during the show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Airlines, Eastern Radio, and we hope to bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern people, Eastern employees, and former friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 222 departs the gate for a new adventure. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And from all the gang here at our radio studios and from our satellite stations, we all say all together, good night, Eastern.
Good night,
good night, family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Eastern.
Good night, all. Good night.
See you next week.
Good night.
And
after the show, we have some additional songs that we would like to play. So stand by and listen in to some beautiful songs, especially songs of the Caribbean that the Eastern will be doing so much of their flying in the future years. So have a good night and listen to these favorites. We hope you enjoyed our show.
I couldn't believe I have a sneeze right in the middle of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Good night, folks.